And it says here in Galatians, which I kind of want to go to the third chapter, and in verse 13, it tells us that Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it's written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Now, to begin with there, it says that Christ has bought us back from the curse of the law, or gotten us away from the curse of the law, so that a price was paid that we wouldn't have to endure the curse of the law. Yet the same Paul who wrote this said that the law was a schoolmaster to lead us to Jesus Christ. In other words, the law was given a long time after the promise of redemption, and the promise of the seed, which we read about tonight, given to Adam and Eve when God spoke to Eve. And the law, which dealt in the various ministries in worship, brought condemnation to people's conscience and heart, and wasn't able to do anything but to further exacerbate or cause problems with the very fact that man now, tempted in his flesh and having a fallen nature, has to look in the mirror of the Word and realize just what a terrible person he is, just what a condemned person he is, knowing that person has fallen from the image of God in the sense that he is a child of God. And look what he's done. Like, talk about David. You look at David, and the law was a real schoolmaster to David. Now, he didn't listen very much to the schoolmaster, because that schoolmaster said, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. It didn't do a thing to the guy's heart as he looked at this beautiful woman. It didn't do a thing. And then, thou shalt not commit adultery. Well, he knew that, but what did that do for him? And thou shalt not kill. He knew that. What did that do for him? And so when he stood face to face with it, he wasn't only condemned because he was what he was condemned because here it was in solid black and white. And he had to face the thing. And he wasn't too unhappy about it because he got a pretty callous nature by now, I guess puffed up because he was the king and done mighty exploits and blessed the God, wrote Psalms, everything else. And he just kind of got carried away with himself. Nathan the prophet came and he said there was this man and he had this one little sheep and he loved it just like a daughter, like a wife to him, and nourished everything else. And the neighbor across the road had a great big flock and he had everything going for him. And this man came by, the rich guy came by and just killed the little sheep. And the old man David was incensed. He just went wild. He said, why, that man should die. He said, thou art the man. And what do you think David felt like? Two bits worse than that. Now he had to face not only what he did, coming back on his head and his family, but he corrupted the whole nation. Now that's what you're looking at. You're looking at a complete corruption. You're looking at yourself and that I'm looking at myself. And no matter what you look at, if you don't believe in the blood of Jesus Christ, washing away all sin, as Brother Branham said, the blood of Jesus Christ scatters sin until you cannot find any trace of it, then how can you make a man a sinner? A man is a sinner because he sins, has sinned, and is sinning and will sin. So how are you going to do it? You can't do it. You've got to have something. And it's the blood of Jesus Christ that did it. And it says, Christ hath redeemed us, in which means he paid the price, he bought us from the curse of the law. In other words, as the Bible said in the book of Revelation, double unto her double what her sins are. Do you realize what I'm telling you is we already have guilt within us. We know when we're wrong. Then when you're faced with the actual Word of God, the Holy Ghost coming down and condemning and letting us know where we stand, that's a double under her double. So how are we going to get away from the fact of the nature plus the condemnation written concerning the nature? So here, what are you facing? Judgment. You're facing death. So now the blood of Jesus Christ sets us free. Now it says, being made free from, being made a curse for us. Because it curses everyone that hangeth upon a tree. In other words, there is a penalty that must be meted out by God, was meted out upon him. And so that he was crucified. Now watch, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. Now this message then is not just to the Jews. Paul explained to the Jews in Hebrews what he's explaining here to the Gentiles. But he's not going into the full depth of it. He's no doubt done that before others have done it. So he's merely telling them here, by turning away from the grace of God and from the blood of Jesus Christ, as though there's another way which Remember, he said to Corinthians, he said, another gospel. See, another spirit. It won't work. You've got to get right back to the original. So he says here, but the Gentiles coming in, because that was a promise to Abraham. You'll be the father of all many nations. Be the father of all nations, actually, because they're the only ones that are, you know, after Abraham are going to come in on that ground. The righteous Israelites and the Gentiles that were foreordained of Almighty God. Now it says that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now what is that promise of the Spirit? The shed blood, and you believe it. Receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior because He died for you in Calvary and shed His blood. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. Water baptism, the sanctification putting us apart, the baptism with the Holy Ghost indwelling us, sealing us back unto God. So not just as the curse has gone, which means separation from God, even though you die, you're now guaranteed the resurrection. So when you commemorate the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're commemorating the fact that He died upon Calvary, you're commemorating the fact that He rose from the dead, and the life that He shed, as Brother Branham made clear, that I don't know any theologian or anybody ever made clear outside of Brother Branham, that the animal life could not come back upon the believer, the one that was giving the propitiation, but the life of Jesus Christ could come back upon us, which is a sealing us in and giving us that help to live victoriously. And Brother Branham said, so we ought to live, so we're able to see our loved ones in the resurrection and actually be a part of it. That is the whole thing. Though your resurrection mind does not depend upon works. No, it doesn't. People might think so, but that's not true. Appointed a man wants to die, and after that, the judgment. Everyone must stand before the mercy seat or the seat of the Lord, the judgment seat of the Lord Jesus Christ, and give an account of the deeds done in the flesh. And everyone's going to. And those even that have eternal life, they will be given their citation, as Brother Branham saw that in a vision. All those things. But the big thing we're talking about is the fact, when Jesus Christ died upon Calvary, we commemorate that. We also commemorate by the drinking of the wine. Because the Holy Spirit has come back. And that Holy Spirit is, that, like the wine, is life-giving. It doesn't go stale. There's something about the wine that is the better wine, that's the longer wine, the older wine, the good wine. The wine of the Holy Spirit, not creeds and dogmas. And you know, we're back to the old wine. The original wine, we're right back to it. Because we've seen God in our midst, and we know what it's all about. And we've seen the original light. We know that He has risen from the dead. We know that positively. And we do know we have a spirit. Why? Because we honor the Son. We honor the Father. We honor the Word. We say amen to every single word, not understanding it all. You know, it's marvelous to know that when we commemorate these two emblems that we have before us tonight, that we know positively that by Jesus Christ's death was guaranteed to us that we would positively be sealed in by the Holy Ghost, every single Gentile called to God, every seed of God, not one is going to, is ordained unto the bride. Now, you could remember the foolish virgin weren't ordained to that. The wise virgin are the bride. Remember, he said, I used to know you as my wife, I don't know you anymore. It's the wise virgin that came in. And it could all be at this very time. I don't know, I wouldn't say. I have a feeling that this could be the last little bit of child training we're going to. I don't know. It could well be. I know that the troubles are down the road. I know that. Like Paul, I can say much tribulation will inherit the kingdom of God. There are dark things coming. But really, you don't need to worry. You will not sink. You will swim. But you may have one tough job, swimming. Because this is not the dog paddle. And this is not the Australian crawl. And it's not the crab and all the other things they do. It's not even the old frog method. I'm telling you, I know what I'm talking about. But you will. You will find the waters will carry you across. Might not be what you think and what you're looking for in a sense of the word, but I can assure you, you will get there. You better believe that. Why? Because you've been sealed in by the Holy Ghost and God will take you through. You received the promise by faith. Not by works of righteousness. Not by anything you and I have done. But because we're seed. Because you are seed. God has sent forth His Spirit into your heart. You were born from some woman's womb. You were born from somebody's sperm. You were handed down that way from God. And we don't look too good in the flesh. You don't worry about cosmetics, my brother, my sister. Let the old heart be circumcised by the Holy Ghost. Let the Word of God fill us. You watch what happens at that day. Because the Word of God today is, some living here will not die. They will not see death. And the rest are going to come out. So this is what we're talking about tonight. When we talked about taking the Lord's Supper, you better believe tonight that it's all wrapped up in that. That's the open door. That's the gateway. That's your permission. That's the price paid. That's your token. That's your ticket. That's your assurance. That's God Himself. And the same baptizer with the Holy Ghost has come down to seal in the boxcar Himself. Everything is in order. My brother Branham said, we're on the waters. He said, the ship, he said, the stabilizer at work. He said, we're cresting every wave. He said, we're on our way. We're going there. Waters to cross. This is what it all stands for tonight, brother, sister. You just let your mind go and believe God tonight in His Word. You can see, my, these little emblems here, they mean all this to me. Yes, they certainly do. They certainly do. Let's rise. We'll just ask the brethren to come forward now at this time, then. We'll just bow our heads in prayer, and then the brethren can start serving. And you know how we come from the back, to my extreme left, and we come around and go to... Heavenly Father, we want to thank You now for this time of fellowship we've had, and now, Lord, for the blessed time around the Lord's Supper here, these gifts You've given us, Lord, whereby we remember You, these ordinances which You've established in the church, right along with water baptism, right along with the foot washing, but meaning ever so much to us, meaning so much more than we could ever visualize, so much more than, and yet so simple. No matter how hard we try, Lord, we might try, that we might do honor unto You. It won't work. This is what You want. And may we understand what You want and enter into the Spirit in which this was given to us. Imbibe of that Spirit and walk in that Spirit. Where people today, Lord, will have Christmas trees and great festive occasions, thinking they're honoring Your birth. The same way, Lord, they'll pass around loaves of bread and holy water and do many, many things, Lord, that they think is a better way than what You ordain. The simple broken bread that is taken, the simple little act of drinking wine, the simple blessing, standing here, as Brother Branham said, standing guard. What more could anybody want than what You said, Lord, what You said was right? And if You said it's right, then it is right. And everything therein is exactly how You put it. This, as it were, Lord, is not a logos, but it could be a sort of that thing tonight. As we look back and see these are the emblems of reality, which not only were, but are, and will continue to be, because the Lamb will be on the throne, the crucified, resurrected one who shed His blood, sent forth His Spirit, and the pillar of fire above the throne, and we around thereabout. And we know nothing more is required except a penitent heart. Help us to examine our hearts tonight, Lord, as we partake and know that every price has been paid, every sin has been washed away. And now we walk uprightly and godly amongst the brethren. Unto Thee we give glory. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen. And tomorrow, morning, of course, 10 o'clock, and we have service. And then afterward we have dinner with those. And I know I have to travel and get home. So appreciate you all coming out tonight. And may the Lord bless you. Let's just be dismissed. Heavenly Father, we want to thank You again for Your mercy, Your goodness to us, churning mercies for those who came. And we also pray for those who could not come or desire to come. We know people are sick, roads are bad. We ask You, You may bless them wherever they are. And whatever they're doing, Lord, may it be of You. And as we go home tonight, we pray again for safety. If there's any trouble in the road, we pray it may be averted. And may Your people, Lord, have a good night's rest and strength to come tomorrow, Lord. And may they rejoice in the living Word, and may the living Word richly abound in them until all of our lives are suffused with the Word of the living God. Unto Thee we give glory. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Take the name of Jesus with you. Seeing the books open, we might as well just take this for the scriptural reading of the communion service. And Peter is speaking of the actual day of which we are now into. And he uses a bit of history, speaking in terms of this hour and looking at his hour, where the prophets prophesied concerning the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, and His sufferings. And they didn't know when it would happen. They really didn't understand it. But they prophesied it. And that salvation Peter speaks of in 1 Peter verse 10, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. And, of course, at that hour, that grace that came at that time, and now at this time, the appearing to the Gentiles, according to Matthew 4, and he says here about that, and it's the same thing at this time, searching what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand of the sufferings of Christ, and the glory that should follow. Now, the sufferings of Christ, that's the thing of the past. The glory that should follow, and we're referring now to Matthew 4 and 12, to the Gentiles, in this end time, that should follow. That's at this hour here. Now, I'm taking this a little out of context in a way. I'm not making it too perfect, but I just want to get a little continuity here and bring it into our history. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Now, he tells them right there that, look, there had to be a time that this was said that they didn't understand it, and they didn't know just when it would happen, but it happened, and now we're telling you about it. And that's the way God does things. And so the very thing today, we were told about the actual Son of Man coming, the return ministry of Christ, and Elohim himself coming down with a shout. We were told that. And nobody could place it. It couldn't be understood. Any more than why should Messiah suffer if he's gonna, and die if he's gonna lead the nation and do so and so and so and so. And so that's why nobody understood 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and Brother Branham, the last great message he preached, which was rapture tape, which was December the 4th, I guess it was, 1965. He said the bride was waiting for this revelation. He said, hear what Paul taught. Hear this, we're waiting for 2,000 years, I'm telling you now. See, that's what he's saying in my bringing it up to date. Wherefore, gird up the loins, your mind be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that's be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. This is our day. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to former lusts and your ignorance, but as he which has called you is holy, be holy in all manner of conversation, because it's written, be holy, for I'm holy. That's in all your behavior. Conversation. And if you call upon the Father, who without respect of person judges according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here and there. Forasmuch as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain behavior received by tradition from your fathers. Now let's understand this. These people were good people. They weren't out there murdering and running around or roustabouting. They weren't drinking a lot of liquor, smoking cigarettes, living in sexual disorder, homosexuals, AIDS, and everything else. They were good people. They went to church. They followed the law. As Paul said, look, he said, I was blameless. I was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. But I was lost. I was gone. Because they had the wrong teaching. And Jesus said, in vain do you worship me, having for doctrine the traditions of men. Now, you see, they started with the word. The Hebrew people had all of those 39 books of the Old Testament, every one of them, they're all in there. Not one was disbelieved, but didn't click. Just didn't work. See? They worshipped according to all their theories and understanding, and their coming together, using their brains, trying to be spiritual, everything they could. They were good people. As Brother Branham said, the most holy people in the most holy city. See? Now, he said, you were redeemed by the blood of Jesus from your vain behavior, your vain system of worship, your vain understanding. Now, why does he say vain? Well, you could use the term vain as being proud and corrupted and lifted up. But that's not really it in my understanding. It simply means you did it and it's not going to amount to anything. Instead of it holding you up, it's going to betray you. You're going to be right back here with Eve. Right back with her. It won't work. You simply don't worship God that way. You simply don't have a part in the kingdom. You're Antichrist. God just says no. Even when they come with gifts of the Spirit, did we not prophesy, cast out devils, do miracles? I never knew you. Depart me, you that work iniquity. But watch what he says. But with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. Now, who was foreordained before the foundation of the world was made manifest these last times. And then, of course, he goes on, and he's like Paul, where Paul mentions that the Holy Ghost is the witness to the efficacious work of Jesus Christ, which means if you are truly justified through the blood, scattering sin till there be no evidence, absolutely perfect in the sight of God, baptized in water, positively, you are under the blood, there's no way the Holy Ghost cannot come. He's just saying the same thing. And he tells you about it. He said, you purified your souls from the vain tradition. Wrong teaching based on the Bible. Everything wrong about you in relationship to God. Many of you were true children of God. Absolutely sons and daughters of God. No doubt about it. And right now, you are the sons and daughters of Almighty God. No doubt about it. And more particularly speaking to Israel, because Peter is not the apostle to the Gentiles. He's to the Jews. And he said, you. Now he said, watch. Now listen carefully. Seeing you purified your souls in obeying the truth to the Spirit. In other words, it was the Spirit of God that took everything that the prophets taught. And the people couldn't get it. Not knowing what was really said. Not knowing the time it was to come. The Spirit of God gave them this real and powerful information. Led them to God. Took them through the blood. Baptism with the Holy Ghost. Truly born again. See, now the blood did it. Without the blood it wouldn't happen. Now watch. The blood made the way for what? The truth. See, because it's the blood of the covenant. The word of the living God. See? Now, unto unfeigned love of the brethren. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. Now you've got the birth that God wanted. It's the birth by the Word that has to do with the soul. See? But the baptism guarantees you immortality. It's beautiful all the way through. See? Which liveth and abides forever. Now, I'm going back here to show you. But as he which has called you is holy, be you also holy in all manner of behavior. Because it's written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Brother Branham took that from Matthew, 5:48? Be ye perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven perfect. And he said, if God demanded it, then God must make a way for it. And he said, what happened? He said, it was the blood. He said, God made the way by the blood. And it scatters sin until there be no evidence of sin. Therefore, how can you be called a sinner? So the blood of Jesus Christ tonight is what we are looking at. It's the blood of the covenant. What is the covenant? Be ye holy as your Father which is in heaven. How can I be it? Through the blood. How can I be in the Word? Born. How can I have the life of the Word in me? How can I live that life? Took the blood to do it. So, brother, sister, when we partake of the wine and the broken bread, which is symbolic or the emblem of the blood, broken body and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, know this for sure, that that blood has made us perfect. Absolutely before God. God is at rest concerning us. God is at peace concerning us. Now, is there any catch to it? There's only one catch, and that's amongst you and me. How do we stand with each other? We stand with God perfectly. Our standing with God is 100% perfect. But what is our actual state? Our actual state has to do with each other. How we act to each other. How we respond to each other. How we are as a family. Now remember, we are not looking for some of these things people look for. Brother Branham said, this is the hour of only brotherly love. Everybody wants some kind of love that isn't brotherly. He said it's sticky. As Banquet said, we've got fish hooks on our elbows. But he said, you'll notice, the Holy Spirit is that honey that keeps you together. And he said, when there are troubles, and that person is in trouble, there is a problem. He said, watch how the saints will go and help that person. It won't help many sin. Help them out of his sin. Help those ones that are struggling, those that are falling. A real... Listen, you've got to follow what Brother Branham said, not what you and I think. Nor do we take one or two things that he said and run with them. You've got to bring the whole thing together. See? There's that love in there. And there will be that love. Truly under the blood, we stand perfect before God. And that's why he said, when you take communion, you examine yourselves. Ought against the brother. Not walking in the light. I know people take communion, and I'm guilty myself. I just am not happy with people at times. Not that I would throw them out or unchristianize them, but I get very upset at times with people. But my upset is, like you're upset, if we obey Paul, as much as lies within us, be at peace with men. The thing is how much lies within us. That's a good test of much license, whether we're at peace with people or not. Again, let not the, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. In other words, don't bear grudges. Don't try to get back at people. I could name you names right now. Some of you people sitting here, you'd burst into tears if I told you, name you certain names. Well, you would. Just believe me. Don't look at me and think I'm lying. I'm talking to you people tonight. I'm telling you something. That hold grudges, just wait to get back. Say, Brother Dale, who are you talking about? Preachers, of course. I don't care who you ask. You're just little sheep out there. Little dogies. Waiting for the great roundup. It's these preachers. God have pity on people that are elders or preachers or anything else that hold themselves in some position. And they bear their grudges. I can get mad, I don't bear a grudge. It isn't worth it. I'll tell you one thing, I've learned not to trust certain people. Say, forget it. Much as lies within me. See, my state before God, my standing is perfect. What is my state up here as a minister? Your standing is perfect. Especially those who believe this word. What is your state tonight? There's where the danger of taking communion is. It's not that God holds anything against you. Your sins and mine are forgiven. They're forgotten. But it's about time there were certain things learned. Certain things learned. And there's only one way, brother, sister. If you and I are a problem with people, is to allay their fears. Get them comfortable and happy by showing a good spirit and get rid of those grudges and those things in there. Now look, I'm not against a solemn judgment of things that are wrong. Because a wrong thing is a wrong thing. I can show you a man's name on a check. He could go to prison for it. You think I'm lying? Ask John. We have that check. Do you dare take communion under those conditions? What? See, look. The blood perfects between us and God. But you and I have to stand as the children without lying. And that's the first thing that Paul mentioned. Without adultery. Without these things. Look, you understand what I'm saying? This walk is not this big walk with gifts and this big missionary outlook and every single thing else. You pick up any book you want on psychology, family welfare, they're going to tell you it's the 7 little things or the 10 little things that are in there that destroy family and relationship. Israel came out under the blood told, crossed the Red Sea. Far as the blood was concerned, it was a perfect entree to everything that God had. But those relationships, men hankering for wrong flesh, false flesh, disobedient women, disobedient men. See what I'm talking about? The blood is so perfect, so wonderful. You don't ever have to worry about the blood. You won't have to worry about God's coming to the sun. That's out. That's over. That's gone. Never repeat it again. But listen, walking in that light, a conduct. Now, remember, under the blood, with the Holy Spirit, we have and can have and walk in a superb, beautiful conduct, building up higher and higher. The stature of every man. Now, I could take time right now and take a lot of time just going to Ephesians, reading all these things to you, where you put away all of these things. Just put away this and put away that. And I want you to notice something. I would like to challenge anybody living to show me where God will take away your smoking, will take away your drinking, will take away any bad habit that you've got, because you can't find it. It says you put away. You put away. You do. You do. You do. But he says, I'll forgive your sins. Now, if the men are looking, you want a better marriage, you better start working on it. And the women I talk about, you better stop seeing all those picture shows, because you're wasting too much time. Now, I'm not up here preaching works and a long, strong stick of Arminianism, but remember, there's an Arminian branch and there's a Calvinistic branch. You do it. You do it. Now, God's done his share. Just like Brother Branham said, and every theologian ever heard say, you do two things, God does the third. You repent, you get baptized in water, God's got to do the Holy Ghost. Now, I don't know. Our son had a nice marriage in his second marriage. His wife used to write on the eggs for breakfast, I love you, honey. She loved him, and he loved her. I knew something was brewing. I couldn't make her confess to me what was eating on her. It was our son's stupidity. I won't tell you all about it, but it was his fault. The day came when she left him. You men can't expect your wives to love you all the time. I had a good wife. Now, she put up with me like God. There's one thing, two things I don't understand. I don't understand God's love and her love for me. I'll be honest with you. I simply don't understand. She loved me all through everything as nobody else could. And I couldn't love myself like she loved me. I can be honest with you. And not only one person should do all the loving. Because over the years, I learned to give the same as she's given. And every time today I check myself, look, she's important. She means everything. Your marriages can go sour. You can even leave each other, still go to heaven. But you're going to be in awful lousy shape when you get there. As far as you as the person are concerned. Not God. Not God. Everything's fine with God. Down through the blood. But let me tell you something. There is a path that you and I have to take. And when we partake of the blood, the emblem tonight, we realize that broken body that shed that blood gave us a perfect entree with God. And God's not angry any longer. God loves us. And nothing we would ever do would separate us. Not even what David did. No way, shape, and form. David, the prophet king, coveted another man's wife, lusted, committed adultery, seduced her, literally to the point of rape, because how are you going to tell the king you're not going to mess with him? Killed the husband. But he's still, on God's sight, a prophet, king type, right? You and I are sons and daughters of the living God. Joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, family of the Most High. Go out tonight and live like the devil. Pick yourself up a batch of AIDS. If you're a born again son, daughter, you'll get there. You'll get there faster and in worse shape than you ever thought. And I'm not saying you should do those things. I'm just telling you the grace of God where it is. But there's, when we take the emblems, it means, look, Lord, I appreciate what you've done. And I'm going to do my share. Yep. Yep. No more sin. Now, Brother Branson, we sin 1,000 times a day. Unbelief, absolutely. Backslide, this, I breathe, all those things I go for. I'm going to tell you, there's a growth and a moving up and a moving on. Paul said, look, he said, when I was a child, I had childish things. I became a man. I took manly things. In other words, I took the easy way out once. I'm taking the harder way now, but I'm going. So anyway, look, communion, you can't talk about communion without a walk. You can't talk about it without the grace of Almighty God. So what do? You put the two together. You say, Lord, you love me. You did it all for me, and I've got it all. No doubt about it. Now, how am I going to act? And there's only one way you and I can act. And Brother Branham made it very clear. You love God by loving His people. You serve God by serving His people. And marriage is a perfect picture of Christ and the bride. So men ought to love their wives as Christ loved His church and gave Himself for it. And what does it say about the bride? She's in obedience to the husband whose head is Christ, who is living that word. How wonderful that we can have marriages, families, and those things that are of God. And then, if something goes awry, you never have to worry. It'll all come back because that word of God, that seed, can never, ever, ever, ever do anything but come forth in the harvest of what that seed was. It may be coated with tar. Maybe a lot of things happen. But that seed's going to come forth. So also our lives. So may the Lord help us. I'm not the best example, I can tell you that, of living a life. But as long as we want to live that life with the help of Almighty God, keep putting away the things we should, there will be a growth, a supernatural growth in Him. Let's rise and beat His name. So the brethren come forward to serve. Just keep in mind the things we said. Let's try to keep them in mind as the Apostle Paul said to do that. And you know how we come around the back, the foot washing out yonder. There's room back here for foot washing for several people, six or eight people also. Heavenly Father, we come to you now at the time of partaking of these emblems. We ask you, Father, that each one of us may examine our hearts now. Number one, in the realization of who we are through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, our sonship proven by the infilling of the Holy Ghost, proven by believing the word for this hour. And then, Lord, looking at ourselves and not only looking at ourselves as those who look in a mirror and then turn away forgetting what manner of man or woman he or she was, but looking at ourselves and by your grace, Lord, determining to have nothing between us and anybody else, but rather our lives clear and beautiful so that we will walk in that light of a reflection of you. Regardless of what anybody may think or do to us or anyone, that will not be our problem. We know, Lord, our problem is, what do we do? How do we react? What is going on with us? May we take that to heart and come away, Lord, as people who are living that life, the beautiful life which is in Christ Jesus, that life of love and of service to you, Lord, so that now, in this hour, we become a help and a great aid to each other, going on to the beautiful sign that's set before us. Father, we know that that's not only possible, but that's commanded. May we hear your voice in obedience, and unto thee we give the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
We appreciate your fellowship. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege we had gathering together over your word. We pray now as we go home, may we go home to rest and relaxation, Lord, and a renewal of our bodies and our minds and a determination as never before to walk in the light of your word, Lord, knowing the truth as we have it now at this hour, because that is what's important. You've given us grace, Lord. Now may we give our wills to you, and unto thee be honor and glory. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray, amen. Take the name of Jesus with you.